Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. After thorough and thoughtful conversation, the South Dakota Arts Council and Art South Dakota have agreed to make the 2020 South Dakota Arts Conference a fully online experience. The conference, which takes place Thursday through Sunday, is still filled with workshops, panel discussions, and sessions that will focus on key areas like racial equity, arts education, fundraising, local arts councils, grant writing, marketing, and more. Joining us this morning to kick off an hour of arts conference coverage, we have members of Arts South Dakota. Jim Spears is executive director. Andrew Reinarts is the director of community development. Jim, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Lori. Thanks for having us.
Andrew, thanks for being here as well.
Yeah, great to chat with you as always.
So many exciting things happening. I look forward to the arts conference every year, and I never get to go because of my work schedule. And not that it wouldn't be better to gather in person, but there is an element of inviting people whose schedules don't always line up with the arts conference to participate in some of these things online. So let's set the stage a little bit, Jim Spears, and tell us kind of from a big picture standpoint how this virtual conference is set to work.
Yeah, you bet. I couldn't agree with you more about your first statement. While we would rather be together, that was our hope all along. It's pretty cool that the virtual experience opens doors for people to join from all over the country. And we do have people registered from outside South Dakota, so that's pretty cool. The conferences, we tried our best to maintain the original goals set forward when we were going to have this conference in person in May. We still wanted to have the same experiences. We had an excellent leadership committee that helped us plan this conference. It's turning into one of the longest running event planning groups that we've ever had. And they helped us kind of set the tone and helped us choose the presenters. We did a call for proposal and they helped us choose presenters and performers. And so we're really excited about what's come out of that leadership conversation. And so we're still having the conference as planned in May, but now it's going to be this week in all virtual. And we're going to have three keynote speakers. We're going to have Marianne Carter, chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts. We're going to have Tori Allen, who is the CEO of Arts Midwest, and then our very own Lori Poirier, who is the CEO of First Peoples Fund. So those are our three keynotes, and we're having 20 breakout sessions, virtual performances, 10 networking breaks in rooms, specific rooms for networking, and then we're going to have some roaming reporter, if you will. We're going to still have some live action segments from around Rapid City. One of our original goals of the conference was to feature our West River arts community, and it's such a dynamic arts community in our state. So we were going to be based in Rapid City and have all these spotlights of arts in Rapid City and West River. So we're going to still try to do that as much as possible in a virtual format. So we're actually going to visit places like the Doll and Racing Magpie and still try to bring a little bit of slice of the Rapid City art scene while we're having the conference.
I want to explore when you mentioned, the leadership, the conversations that you've had, these extended conversations. Jim, sticking with you for a moment before we bring Andrew into the conversation here, what were some of those conversations like? Can you give me an idea of the tone? How are people feeling right now as far as, what the need is in the arts community?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I, we haven't been on the road like we normally would be, especially during the summer months. Andrew and I and the team at Arts South Dakota and the South Dakota Arts Council spend a lot of time out and about in the state. And of course, that's not been possible. So we're feeling a little disconnected at times. The leadership committee originally really was focused on, spotlighting the Black Hills art scene, spotlighting the diversity of our of our artists in this great state and talking about equity in the arts. We really wanted to spotlight tourism in the arts, and this was going to be right at the, if we would have had this in May, it was going to be right on the threshold of the tourism season, and we wanted to talk about the importance of cultural experiences for people visiting South Dakota. So some of that has changed, but I think that the number one goal is still creating community. We have a very spread out, anybody that's spent very much time in South Dakota knows there's a lot of geography and a lot of, miles between people. And so, we were just trying to make South Dakota feel a little bit smaller. And that's one of our goals at our South Dakota with our networking programs. And so the conference was all about bringing the arts community together, learning from each other, celebrating together, just being a community. And it won't be the same as being in a room and sitting around a table and listening to live music, as a shared experience. But it will still be community. And so that's one of the things I'd say that is still our number one goal with this conference, is to create a sense of community and to bring our great arts world here in South Dakota together. And then the last thing I'd add to that is, I think, I don't want to speak for anybody, but I can speak for Arts South Dakota, and I think it sort of reflects a little bit of the tone of the folks in our state doing this work. And I think that's a tone of optimism, a little bit of nervousness and a little bit of sadness of having to cancel seasons and not have our patrons come into our galleries and not do our work like we normally would. That's been tough. And Andrew and I can both talk about that as, from a musician's perspective as well. But I think there's a certain tone of optimism and knowing that the arts are so important to telling the story of what's happening right now in our world and will be absolutely essential when this pandemic is over and bringing us together. I think the arts will be the most important part of our communities once we can all gather again together.
Yeah. Andrew Reinerts, I want to talk about, I don't want to get too bleak or sad, but, I work in the arts somewhat, but mostly of my time right now because of my current job is to be an audience at Goer, to be a reader, to be a listener, to be the person who, buys the ticket and shows up at the door. And lately, Andrew, it's just, I'm sad. I'm missing, aching for people like, you and Jim Spears for the music, for Jamie Lynn, for the theater, for the symphony, Lord help me. And it's really a difficult time if the arts are such a part of your quality of life, if they're a part of what inspires you and keeps you going on a bad day. I'm feeling it. And I'm just in, I tuned in the other day to a Facebook Live that you and Jim were talking with Craig Howe as I was preparing to, interview Craig and Dalton Coffey about Talk Away. And it was so great to listen to you guys talking about the importance of this, specific exhibition. And I'm wondering if that resonates with you, this idea that there are audience goers and ticket buyers. I mean, we're not just consumers, like we're showing up for an experience that you're really giving us that we've kind of lost. Is that too desperate? Do I sound too desperate, Andrew?
No, not at all. I've been feeling that both from a performer and an audience member. Not to sound overwrought, but it's similar to grief where a family member passes, and it's bleak to begin with, but it's those next markers. It's the next holiday. It's the next time that you normally would get together. And I think we're feeling that a lot with the arts because, it was bad enough in the spring, but then this fall, as many of the kind of academic calendar type programs like the symphony and the jazz and blues concert series and so many of the summer concert series couldn't really happen. It's kind of each time we hit one of those markers, it gets a little bit hard. It's definitely something that is a, a difficult thing to deal with. But I think that what's encouraging to me in these kind of dark times is that there is an audience that is thirsting for it. And I think that it, just like what we're doing with the virtual arts conference, it's 100% not the same when you can't be together. But a lot of musicians and organizations and theaters and dancers are coming up with some really novel ways to still try to engage each other and be in community. You know, in Sioux Falls, they just had the last performance, which I'm sure was frigid, of Headlights Theater, where it was a new dance company in town collaborating with local musicians, local bands, in a way that I don't think they would have necessarily thought of had they been able to kind of go about business as usual. Now, that's not to say that there's not a lot of pain that a lot of people are feeling, and definitely not trying to diminish any of that, but it's encouraging to see these new ideas, these new ways of trying to keep community and keep us together and pushing forward as much as we can as an arts community.
Yeah. Andrew, are you finding that people, I know when I you know, dig through my CD collection, because I still have CDs and albums and digital music, you know, I am just thumbing through those to find the local artists. I mean, there's something about, like, I knew I was into local music, but I didn't realize how important it was to me until I didn't have it. And I'm like, where is that, you know? You know, where is Sparse at? You know, where is that Jamie Lynn CD at? Is that Eliza Blue CD? Like, I need to hear their voices. Are you finding that too, Andrew, that it's not just that we need the arts, is that we need our local artists?
Very, very much so. You know, I think that the first metaphor I'm going to use is more consumerist than I prefer to talk about art, but it's a little bit like how right now we're trying to shop local. You know, we're trying to support local restaurants. We're trying to support local downtown businesses as much as humanly possible, because when they're in danger, we start to finally realize a little bit, sometimes too late, how much they've impacted us in our communities. You know, it's so much different to go to a shop downtown and talk to the person that owns it that you've known, that's been a pillar in the community, rather than just clicking and ordering something online. And I think that local artists often are telling stories we understand. You know, whatever their medium is, it's an experience that we've lived together, living on these high plains. And I think that supporting your local arts community is more important than ever. And I think so many of us are feeling that. And I hope that people will donate to their local arts nonprofits, continue to purchase goods and virtual tickets to performances, so that when we come out of this, you know, as Jim was saying, we can all jump, and we've supported each other in the meantime. And now we can really get back to the rebuilding and the restructuring and moving forward together.
Yeah. Jim, would you speak to the economic impact of, you know, having so many artists, you know, not being able to gather in an audience in ways that we used to? I mean, we've talked to a few theater, you know, productions where the capacity is way down, you know, if they're doing anything in person. What are we seeing so far? And I know it's a little too early for a comprehensive look, but initial thoughts, Jim Spears, on the economic impact of this downturn, especially when it comes to the arts and tourism.
Yeah, well, it's pretty drastic. And you're right, we're not seeing the full picture or the final picture. This is ongoing. We've often used the phrase, you know, first to close, last to open, you know, for especially performing arts venues and groups. It's just hard to do our work right now. So that means a lot of lost revenue. So working with Americans for the Arts, as of about 2 weeks ago, we were looking at $14 billion in national financial losses within the nonprofit and the creative sector related to this pandemic. 478 million admissions have been canceled. or postponed. So tickets, $478 million. That's a huge number. It's how many people are not able to attend their local theater production or the symphony or, you know, all those performances that we've been talking about. And that has, when you use the Americans for the Arts economic impact calculator, that comes out to an additional $15 billion because of those lost tickets in local spending that has been lost. Nationally, we still have 59% of arts nonprofits closed, so they have not reopened. I know in South Dakota it's maybe a little different, but nationally there's a well over a majority of our arts businesses that remain closed. In South Dakota, the last number I saw on lost attendance or lost tickets is nearly a million. 93% of South Dakota arts organizations are reporting event cancellations. Nationally, 95% of artists have reported loss of income. So creative workers, now these are individuals, not organizations, 95%, that's about as close to everyone as you're going to ever get. 63% of artists nationally are fully unemployed at this point. So those are huge numbers. I know the stimulus packages from both the federal government and now, you know, through our state, and there's one still ongoing. There's still time to apply for nonprofits to get grants from the governor. She has $40 million set aside specifically for nonprofits. So that's a great thing, and it's going to help. The PPP loans, as we've looked nationally, they've saved about 1.1 million creative jobs. So, you know, some things are working, but it's not nearly enough to make up for the losses. And we're seeing that both here in South Dakota and the greater United States. Andrew could talk more about the Artist Relief Fund. We've talked a little bit about that on this show, but that's just another indication in South Dakota, 165 applications for Artist Relief, you know, ages 19 to 75 from every corner of the state. So it really, this is truly a equal opportunity pandemic. It's reaching everyone, and it's been tough on this sector especially.
Yeah. Andrew, say more about, if you would, about the work that Art South Dakota is trying to do to shore things up for artists. And to Jim's point, you know, as I look through the work that Art South Dakota does and the South Dakota Arts Council does, a lot of it in the past years, you know, and the most recent work these groups have done have been about equity and, you know, dealing with Indigenous artists and trying to get their voices heard, or immigrant artists. And these people are also hit very, very hard. Andrew, tell me a little bit more about the work that's being done to other, you know, beyond, you know, buying a CD or you know, getting a ticket for a show that you might have to see online at best. What else is there?
Well, Art South Dakota, typically we're not a funding organization. Typically we're a service and support and advocacy group. But we had a unique opportunity being an independent nonprofit to fundraise both from people in South Dakota, and then we've got a large seed gift from the Bush Foundation in Minneapolis to start this Artist Relief Fund. And that was kind of late June, early July. We were able to support with very small gift grants, but at least a little bit of something to 165 artists all around the state. The thing that was amazing there, which I won't dwell on too long since we've talked about it before, but it wasn't Sioux Falls, Rapid City, Aberdeen. You know, there were over 60 communities represented by these 165 artists, all of whom make at least a significant portion of their income from their activities. And a large portion, you know, a little over 30% were from Native Nations, current citizens of the nine Native Nations with lands in South Dakota. And so whatever we could do to help facilitate getting just that little bit of immediate relief, and if nothing else, it was kind of moral support. You know, we had a couple of applicants that said, you know, even if I'm not awarded, you know, on their application, I'm just so glad that someone is there and someone is trying to help. And I think that, you know, if Patrick Baker had been able to be on, he would be able to speak more clearly about the Arts Council's work. But they've been really working hard to revamp their granting programs, shifting to support a lot more virtual performances than they would have normally done, providing flexibility in grant deadlines. They've also been, I know, really trying to focus on equity from their grant-making perspectives as well, of reaching out into communities that are underrepresented in their gifts, or excuse me, in their granting, and finding ways to bring people into the fold that weren't normally there. And then otherwise, a lot of it is what Jim was talking about, of just doing everything we can to provide educational resources with webinars and community building, just trying to keep this all in the boat. Because if we're all in the boat together, we have a much better chance of sailing on through to the next dawn than if we're all kind of isolated from each other.
Yeah. South Dakota Arts Conference is coming up Thursday through Sunday. We've got a whole hour here in the moment previewing that arts conference. And Jim Spears, let's leave this segment and go on to the next by telling people how they can sign up and still participate. How do I register?
Absolutely. First, I want to say you're hearing two-thirds of the Arts South Dakota team today. And our colleague, Sherry Cosell, who is in charge of this conference and really the one driving it all, it's just amazing the work she's done to put this all together. So I want to thank her publicly and let everyone know that she's sitting at her computer right now trying to make sure this all comes together, all the many details. To register, you go to our website, artssouthdakota.org. So ARTS, arts is plural, southdakota.org. And right there on the homepage, you're going to see a button that says 2020 conference, and you click on that and it's going to take you to an overview page. It's very simple. You can go in and explore the various speakers and breakout sessions, but you can click register and that will take you to a page where you can sign up for the entire conference, all 3 days. Or if you don't have the time or only are interested in one specific day, you can sign up. That's what's kind of neat about this virtual experience. You can sign up for just one of the 3 days. So, and then the other thing about registering, really we encourage people to do that now as soon as possible. But because it's virtual and we're not ordering food or don't need to have enough chairs put out in the room, we can really take registrations up to the last minute. So even if something changes in your schedule late this week and you realize I can go to the conference, please come back, sign up even later in the week. But it does start Thursday, midday, with our big keynote from Marianne Carter, who's doing exceptional work with the National Endowment for the Arts. She's just amazing. I had a chance to hear her speak in Washington, D.C. last year, and she's great. I can't wait for her to be part of the conference. But that will start on Thursday, and then we go all the way through Saturday, midday. So please sign up. There's virtually unlimited openings, right? We don't have room capacity to worry about. So as many people as can join us, we hope we'll be there.
All right. Celebration, artssouthdakota.org. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear one of those great keynote speakers in conversation. Tori Allen is with us. We've been talking with Jim Spears and Andrew Reinarts from Arts South Dakota. Jim, thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much, Lori.
Andrew, thank you as well. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much.